Put the coat back on. So that was Light of the World by Lauren Daigle, if you want to look it up again later on. The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. O come, Emmanuel. And as we listen to those words, we may well think of our world waiting for a solution to the migrant crisis as children and their parents die in the Channel. Waiting for improvement, or at least a slower rate of deterioration, as climate change threatens national economies and individual lives. Waiting for the end of the pandemic, as yet another COVID variant gives cause for concern. Where is God now? The world waits for a miracle. As he speaks out those words that we heard from Isaiah, he'll be thinking of the world in his day. People walking in darkness. They are living in the land of deep darkness. And storm clouds are on the horizon as the northern kingdom of Assyria imposes its authority on the little nation of Israel. Where is God now for them? Fast forward by 750 years or so, and we find God's people now divided into the northern area of Israel and the southern one of Judah under the domination of the Roman Empire. Where is God now? In between those two points, there have been many downs: the destruction of the first temple and its rebuilding, the exile of many of the Israelites to Babylon, and much more. Where is God now? And into times such as that, and times such as this, Isaiah brings hope. We will see light in our darkness. We will know joy beyond the sorrow. Those who are oppressed will know freedom from their oppressors. Our hope will come through a child whose cry is the sound of love come down. He will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew's Gospel quotes Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, showing how Jesus fulfills the prophecy. He is the light in the darkness. And Matthew also quotes from Isaiah 7, verse 14, which says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." We can look back and see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Jesus. Where is God now? And the answer comes: Emmanuel, God is with us. Friends, this is a message that our world needs to hear, isn't it? The world waits for a miracle. But God in Jesus has already done one. In Jesus, the Almighty Creator God has been born into the world to be Savior of the world. Emmanuel, God is with us. In Christian tradition, of course, this time of year is called Advent. Advent means arrival. It means coming. It's become a time of waiting for the celebration of the miraculous birth of the one who has already come, and for the anticipation of Jesus, the miraculous one who will one day come again. And I'd like to encourage you, as we enter into this season of Advent, to spend this time of waiting in 3 days. 3 days, three ways. Do it in 3 days if you want, but you've got longer than that. And first, the first thing that I want to encourage you to do over these coming weeks is to see the miracle. That's the next slide, please. Oh, sorry, we missed out that one. That'll be the next one. Or even the next one. Yay, see the miracle. That's it. This time last week, as many of you will know, Wendy and I were enjoying, well, a holiday. And we were enjoying this view from our holiday apartment in Dumfries and Galloway, southern Scotland, looking out over the Firth of Galloway. And it was a wonderful place to stay. And I spent quite a few hours in that chair reading, enjoying the view, and occasionally, I must admit, having a little sleep. It was a great place to enjoy what was in front of us for the coming day, maybe eating breakfast. And the view got even better on some days around sunset, which is the next slide, please, which up there is around about 4 p.m. at the moment. And so we had sunsets like this on about 3 days, I think, which is pretty good for this time of year, isn't it? It was there, right in front of us. And Advent is a season to enjoy what is in front of us on and around the 25th of December when we celebrate the Saviour's birth. We look forward to a miraculous thing, the birth of a baby to a virgin without any intervention of a man, but born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, as with any pregnancy, there is a time of waiting. Pregnancy is a time that helps us to treasure what is to come. Parents grow to love the life that is growing inside the mother way before the baby is born. And even though we know how it happens, at least I hope you do, should by now, every new life is a miracle of God's grace. How much more so is the life of God's own son born to a woman who has never been with a man? The miracle of Jesus' birth gives us the hope that miracles can and do happen. So what can we do to see Advent, to celebrate it? A few simple ideas that I want to lay before you and might want to consider these. Firstly, you could light an Advent candle each day. I don't mean 25 different candles, actually, although you could do that. But you could get one of these Advent candles with the dates on, you know, 1, 2, down to 24, 25, I guess. And that in itself might be enough for you just to anticipate, just to remember the season that we're in. It reminds us that Jesus, the light of the world, has come. In our family, Wendy and I did that with our girls, although I have to admit we'd forget now and again, and when you do it for a few days in a row, you're frantically trying to burn the candle down, aren't you, when you remember to burn all those days that you've forgotten about. But we used to do that as we gathered for our evening meal around the table. It's part of what we did. It's part of what I hope we'll still do if my wife can find us an Advent candle. And then secondly, maybe you'll add to it, because as you light your candle, maybe you could use a short Bible reading that relates to the coming of Jesus. Again, this was something that we did with our girls. We would, it usually fell to me as the professional clergy in the family to choose a reading that fitted, and maybe just a couple of verses, and we just read that with our girls as we lit the candle to remind them of what was to come. Maybe read one of the Old Testament prophecies, like the one from Isaiah that we've heard earlier on. Read through the first chapter of Matthew and of Luke in small chunks. Yes, even perhaps the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, it has its place. Think about what it means, give thanks. Or you could use an Advent calendar that tells the Christmas story. Don't bother with the Father Christmas ones that end up with Father Christmas in the final window. There's even an alternative calendar produced by Red Letter Christians UK, and I'll get Wendy to send out a link tomorrow maybe in a MailChimp, and it gives a different idea for observing Advent around each day. Maybe discuss something that day with a friend, maybe explore a justice issue, maybe sing to yourself or others if you dare an Advent hymn, or yes, Bible readings too on certain days. So we can read, anticipate, celebrate through this season of Advent. Don't just treat Advent as a period to endure until we get to the main event. See the miracle that is ahead. Well, the second thing I want to encourage us to do is to share the miracle. We're there already. On holiday, Wendy and I, you'll be glad to hear, did not just sit in our chairs looking out of the window, even though this is another view that we saw. We went outside as well to see the view in all its glory, and also we went further afield to explore and enjoy the area. Now, after a few days staying there, it was a changeover day at the apartment next door to us. I think we'd just about seen the people who lived there, who stayed there before, but they weren't there very much like us. They were going out and about, here, there, and everywhere. And a new couple arrived with two rather yappy dogs. Thankfully, the walls were thick between our apartments, so that was good. But for the next 2 days, so it seemed, they stayed in their apartment, except to walk the dogs now and again. And the curtains stayed drawn. And when we could see through the crack in the curtains, we're not supposed to look, are we? But you know, neighborhood watch and all of that. It includes not just looking out of curtains, but looking into them. But when we could see through the gap in their curtains as we walked by, they always had the TV on. And it seemed to us that they were totally ignoring the view that was outside their windows, the same view as ours, for the sake of something that was vastly inferior. Now that, I think, could be a parable of how many people treat Christmas today. Their vision is limited. It maybe is limited to the materialism of shopping and parties and excess. And it's as if they stay inside an apartment with curtains closed, while outside is a view of the miracle of God's love for them. How are we going to share the miracle and encourage them to draw back the curtains, to open the door, to step outside into that love which God has for all? Well, again, we've got opportunities to do that through our church, and I've shared some of them. Breakfast at Bethlehem next Saturday, Instant Nativity next Sunday, Community Carol Singing, see, I had it there anyway, Sheila, on Lace Hill on Friday the 10th. And community carol service here on Sunday the 12th between 5 and 6. And you'll have other ways to do that as well. Perhaps sending a Christmas card that depicts the Christmas story. Wendy and I always try and do this. That depicts the Christmas story and send it to your neighbours. Or maybe invite them round and chat about what Christmas means to each of you. Share the miracle. And thirdly, I want to say, be the miracle. The views from our holiday location kept getting better, actually. I mean, we were really blessed last Sunday and last Monday when spectacular weather and a lot colder, but that often helps, doesn't it? And you get those wonderful sunny, clear, crisp skies. And we'd been told, actually, that we should be able to see the Isle of Man from our apartment. The first 5 days, nothing. But days 6 and 7, there it was in all its glory. So this is another photo, which I think was last Sunday. Now, in these pictures, even though the refraction of light in myriad colours can be explained in these sort of setting sun photos, I think there's something miraculous, don't you, about the way that no two sunsets are the same. And it's as if, when conditions are like this, it's as if God, the divine artist, paints a fresh picture each day. And I love that. Imagine being Mary as an angel appears to her. She will conceive and give birth to a son who will be called the Son of the Most High. A bit of a shock to a young woman who is a virgin, to say the least. The angel explains how it can be and sums up, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. As I was doing some preparation for this sermon on Friday morning, our first Christmas card of the season dropped through the door. You've probably had yours already. We sometimes get them earlier, but this was our first one. A lovely card, photo card, from good friends of ours going way, way back, with lots of family photos. To be honest, I was a bit surprised because these particular friends usually send a very, very long Christmas letter with it. It's a bit of a standing joke, really. We have to set aside most of a day to read it. But this year, nothing. A short message on the back, which perhaps told me the reason why there was no letter. Short message celebrating the joyous arrival of a miracle baby against the odds, born to their daughter. And then, in the next breath, sharing the devastating news that our friend Sue has a tumor and faces months of chemotherapy. And their brief message finished, "We are praying for another miracle, that of healing." And to be honest, I was quite choked by that news of a friend, a close friend over many years. And Wendy and I pray that God will do that miracle. We have to believe in miracles, don't we? We have to believe in them. If God can bring life from the womb of a virgin girl, and if God can bring his crucified son back to life after 3 days in the grave, nothing is impossible with God. We can find hope in that. And yet, apart from to pray, and this will be a relief to us, I guess, healing is God's job, not ours. So how can we be the miracle? I'm sure some of you will have seen the film Bruce Almighty. I hope you have anyway. It's a brilliant, fun film to watch. After his worst day ever, Bruce rails against God for ruining his life. And lo and behold, God responds and gives all of his powers over to Bruce to see if Bruce can do a better job. As you can imagine, Bruce has some fun with that. But it doesn't all go as he expects. See, Bruce needs to learn the difference between magic tricks and miracles. And in one scene, Bruce meets up with God, played by Morgan Freeman, who is mopping up a very large floor in an empty building. And God says, no matter how filthy something gets, as he's mopping the floor, you can always clean it right up. Well, that's encouragement to all of us, isn't it? That God makes all things new. And then he goes on to say to Bruce, a single mum working two jobs to still find time to take her kids to soccer practice, that's a miracle. A teenager that says no to drugs and yes to an education, that's a miracle. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle. How can we be the miracle? Again, a few ideas. where we might be the miracle. I'm coming up, I'm sure some of you have had yours, but Thursday this week, Wendy and I are off to get our booster jabs. Grab our jabs. And I don't know about you, I'm so grateful for that. At least I will be when I've had it and the side effects have passed. Your booster jab could save your life, couldn't it? Why not give to vaccinate? A thank offering, if you like, to save other lives in other nations where jabs are less readily available. Maybe only 1, 2, 5% of population has been vaccinated. You could do that through vaccinate and be the miracle that saves the life. It could be that your way of being a miracle is to call on the lonely neighbour, if you've got one, and offer help. And if you haven't got a lonely neighbour, well, find one. You can all do that. And be the good neighbour, be the listening ear, be the miracle. And if it's safe to do so, and who knows, invite someone to share in your Christmas. Offer light and hope and be the miracle. Just a little bit after our reading, and actually it was a brilliant reading, but it was meant to be John 1, not 1 John 1, but 1 John 1 fitted quite well, Pat, so don't worry about it. It was still light. That's the brilliant thing about John's Gospel. But the Message version in John's Gospel says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that that version. The Word became flesh and blood and moved in to the neighborhood. Do you know, he's still in it. Jesus is still in the neighborhood by his Spirit, through people like you and me. The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. O come, Emmanuel. See the miracle, share the miracle, be the miracle. O come, Emmanuel. Let's pray, then we're going to sing, and then you'll be able to wrap your cold fingers around a hot cup of coffee. Lord, we wait once again for the miracle of life, the miracle of love coming into this world in Jesus. Lord, give us eyes to see the miracle. Give us the will to share the miracle. And give us the ability to be the miracle to someone out there who needs the hope that you alone bring. Lord, we pray that you would use us to be the miracle. Amen.